WBC Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Cocoa, 99.9 FM.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power Radio Program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Hello, friend. This is Pastor W.V. Grant from Eagles Nest Cathedral in Dallas, Texas, and we are in revival right now in Melbourne, Florida, at the Ark of the Covenant Church, where the pastor is Cecilia Standback. The word of knowledge in vivid detail. Do you need a word from God? Do you need a miracle? Join me every night this week through Friday night. That's right, tonight at 7:14 for 2 Chronicles 7:14, 2317 North Harbor City Boulevard, Highway 1A. This is Pastor W.B. Grant. You've seen us on BET and the Word Network, and we're in Melbourne, Florida right now. Come out and be with us. Miracles are happening. People coming off of walkers and canes and out of wheelchairs. Short legs are growing out. The greatest miracles, all the souls that are being saved. Join me at 2713 Harbor City Boulevard at the Ark of the Covenant Church tonight through Friday night. This is Pastor W.V. Grant from Eagles Nest Cathedral in Dallas, giving you a personal invitation. We're in Melbourne, Florida right now at Ark of the Covenant. I'll see you tonight at 7:14.
Oh, God. Come on. Oh, glory to God. See, let me say something. Hallelujah. What? If I was to need to be somewhere, a church tomorrow, come on, I would be looking for a place where the heavens are open. Come on. Hallelujah. A place that I can go in and recognize that God, okay, all right. Tell somebody I want to be where the Lord is.
Yes.
I want to be somewhere where he is, where he's moving. Wait, okay, read. I'm trying to move.
This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.
You recognize that it was the gate of heaven, that it was an opening there. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory. Even those that are listening by internet, get into a church this year where there is an opening. Come on. You don't want to be in a church where there's a closed heaven this year. You want to be in a church where the heavens are, somebody say, open.
Open.
Oh, glory to God. Read, daughter.
And Jacob rose up early.
Because it just might save your life.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Jacob rose up early in the morning, representing a new day, representing a new beginning. Come on. He rose up early in the morning. Hallelujah. How many know that when you see the morning, when you open your eyes, you're in a brand new day? Come on, somebody. Tell somebody this is a new day. This is a new year. This is a new season in my life. Come on. God, do something new. Now, you got to be careful, because when God do something new, you can't be dragging the old into the new. Read, daughter.
And Jacob arose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and he set it up for a pillar, and he poured oil on the top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel.
House of God. Woo! House of God. Hallelujah. Read.
But the name of that city was called
Luz, you know, I didn't look it up, praise God. If I did look it up, I forgot it, but Luz, I think it means bone. It might mean bone, I'm not for sure. Oh, glory to God. But how many know where God, dead bones can live again?
Yes.
dead bones can... Okay, all right. All right, I'm about to go and look that name up. But anyways, read, daughter.
And the name of the city had been called Luz at first. Uh-huh. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, if God will keep me in this way that I go, and if God will give me bread to eat and raiment, clothes to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God.
Look at this statement. I'm going to make you my God. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to make you my God. Hallelujah. Have you made him your God in this morning? Oh, glory to God. Okay. All right. All right. Do you recognize that the Spirit of the Lord God is in the house?
Amen.
Can you feel his presence? Oh, glory to God. And so going back over to chapter 35. Here's God telling Jacob in 35, go to Bethel, dwell there, and make an altar unto me. This is what God was saying, make an altar. How many know what the altar is for? An altar is to usher in the presence of God and to push back evil. Sometimes when we're saying, you know, come to the altar, oh, glory to God. It's to usher more of God's presence into your life and to push back the evil and the darkness.
Yes,
come on.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. Sometimes it's a fight to get to the altar.
Yes.
I know we don't have much of an altar here, but coming to the front of the church is like coming to the altar and giving it to God. God said, build an altar. And do what, daughter?
And worship.
And worship. And worship. Read.
Back to verse 1.
No, back to verse. As a matter of fact, let's stay there. Verse 1. Yeah, back to verse 1.
Okay. And God said unto Jacob, arise and go to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared to thee when you fled from the face of your brother Esau.
You were running from Esau. You was fleeing from Esau. Esau wanted to kill you. Some of you all started to recognize that the devil wants to kill you. The devil wants to take you out. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Sometimes we're looking at flesh, but it's really the enemy using folks. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And then some of you all come to the point you recognize that your flesh want to kill you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right.
Come on.
Glory to God. Tell somebody, what in hell do you want? There's nothing in hell that you want. It's not even for you. It's for Satan and his fallen angels. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Tell somebody, I don't have that appointment.
I don't have that appointment.
If it is on my bucket list, I'm scratching it off.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God. But I thank God for some of the hell that you went through, because it got you in church. Oh, glory to God. It got you to Bethel, the house of God. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. It's amazing how God will use trouble to get you in the right place. Okay. There's a verse of scripture, I believe it's in Isaiah chapter 45 or something, where the prophet said, God, don't give Israel no peace until they become a praise in the earth. God is about you becoming a praise in the earth.
Yes.
And so guess what? If he has to allow the enemy to make it difficult for us to position us, come on, that we might be a praise in the earth. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Allow the enemy to make it difficult so we can shed some stuff, get rid of some stuff. Come on. Let go of some stuff. Come on, because sometimes there are things that are keeping us from being positioned in the right place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where was I? Okay, so you were running. Verse 2 says what?
Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you.
Put away the strange gods that are among you. Now, let me show you something now. Here's God. God says what? Go to Bethel. Go to the house of God. Worship, right? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. The Bible says he arose. That's basically saying he got up and started a brand new day. Come on. Hallelujah. Why do we want to take our old into the new? It's amazing because guess what? Hallelujah. Some of you all, I don't believe after this message, but some of you all are going to attempt to take the old into the new. But somebody say the devil is a liar.
Devil is a liar.
Tell somebody, I'm not taking the old into the new. If you take the old into the new, how many know all you're going to have is old? You're going to be in a new place, but doing the same old thing. Okay, all right. Everybody get this? Oh, glory to God. Somebody say Jesus. So it says, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. Oh, glory to God. And let us arise. Come on. Let's get up out of the place that we're in. Come on. And go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress. Come on. Oh, glory to God. And was with me in the way which I went. Verse 4 says what?
And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand.
Come on, you willing to give up the strange gods?
Yes.
This morning? Come on, you're in a brand new year. Brand new day. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. You're willing to leave those strange gods at the altar. You're going to find out that he put the strange gods and all that stuff under a tree. But are you willing to leave those strange gods? Come on. Oh, glory to God. In 20, somebody say 2023. And go on to the new that God has for you. God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, they are good and not evil, to bring you to an expected end. God got better things for you than what you can even see. I'm telling you, you can't. There are some things that God has for you that you can't even fathom. But the enemy won't let you see it. Because guess what? He'll put things right in front of you. He'll pull out all the ace cards. He'll pull out all the dark, handsome, and lovelies. Come on, somebody.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God. Anything to keep you out of the center of God's will. Yes, God has a good will. God has an acceptable will. But then God has a perfect will. Your prayer this year ought to be, God, help me to get in your perfect will. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Your perfect will.
Yes.
Okay, all right. And so the Bible says that they gave up the gods. Hallelujah. And he says, let us arise and go to Bethel. And okay, we read that. Verse 4. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hands, and their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which is in Shechem. Oh, glory to God. And I literally want to go into that about the oak in Shechem, but I'm going to leave that alone. Let's go to Joshua chapter 3. And Dave, When you get a chance, could you bring me my laptop, my tablet? Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap for Minister Dave right there. We thank God for having a sound man. Oh, glory to God to help to release the sounds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our daughter, read Joshua chapter 3.
Starting at verse 1.
Uh-huh.
And it reads, and Joshua rose early in the morning.
Okay, all right, somebody say, brand new day.
Brand new day.
Brand new day. Oh, glory to God. Brand new beginning. Sometimes we just get up in the morning time, but we don't necessarily recognize it as being a brand new day. You're at the beginning of a brand new year. Come on, somebody. A brand new. I mean, you know, it's time for you to start thinking about it. I got to become new for the new. Okay, somebody say that again. I gotta become new for the new. Okay, all right. And so here the Bible says he rose up. Come on, he got up in the morning, brand new day, and the Bible says, and they removed from Shittim and came to the Jordan. Now Shittim was the last camp before they were getting ready to cross over into what? The promised land. So you're looking at them getting up from Shittim, which Shittim means thorns. Because a lot of us was in a thorny place. Come on, somebody. How many know that when a woman, what they call it, the trimester, the last, right before she give birth, that's one of her what? Most painful times. So here they were in their third trimester. They were getting ready to go over into the promised land, and they were in a place called Shittim. Thorns. Sometimes when you in your Shittim, you want to complain. God, why you got me here? Come on. I know I get the phone calls all the time. But tell somebody, I was in my Shittim. But now I'm rising up into my brand new day. Glory to God. And the Bible says they came to Jordan. Hallelujah, a place of crossing. And I don't have time to go there. But the Bible says that he and all the children of Israel, and what happened, daughter?
It says, and he came to Jordan and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they crossed over. And it came to pass after 3 days.
Somebody say divine completion.
Divine.
See, because before you weren't ready to cross over. Sometimes we ain't ready to cross over into the new things that God has for us. Come on. Oh, glory to God. But now all of a sudden they come and they camp out at right before the Jordan, and they're just sitting there because they're waiting on God. They're waiting on God to open things up, to make an opening. Oh, glory to God. So that they can come all the way out. Not part way out, but all the way out. Read, daughter.
And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host.
The leaders went through the host. Went through the host. They were running through and telling the people what?
And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God.
The Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. Come on. And so they were saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, or what represents the presence of God, do what?
Remove from your place and go after
it. That's a signal to know that it's time to get up. Come on, somebody. And to follow. Come on. Oh, glory to God. All the healings that have been breaking out. Come on. All the deliverance and the breakthrough. Come on. The financial blessings. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Some things are a sign. Hallelujah. That the presence of God, come on, is starting to move. It's starting to move. Come on. Oh, glory to God. He said, when you see it start to move, get up and follow. Come on. But he gave some instructions. What were the instructions, daughter? Are y'all getting
this?
Are y'all getting this? Oh, glory to God. See, because as a matter of fact, I want you to, hopefully you're taping this here. Hallelujah. Because I want you to keep this and listen to it throughout this year, periodically. Read.
Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure.
About 3,000 feet. Because he says, don't, in other words, I was going to do a demonstration. In other words, when the priests are carrying the ark, we need you to stay back far enough so you can see which way they're going. Because some of us know that in our past, we have gotten ahead of God. Because how many know that if God is moving, a lot of us are trying to, you know, I remember one day in the airport. My grandson, he didn't even know what gate we were going to, but he was just running ahead of us, and we're like, back up, Micah, and he's running ahead. Don't know it, don't know nothing, don't know enough to hurt himself. But he was running ahead of us. And sometimes we are just like that, little children that's always running ahead of God. Come on. And then when we go and go to the wrong gate or the wrong place, now we're mad.
Ouch, ouch, ouch.
How many know those airports too big to walk around anyway?
Yes.
But God is saying, stay back. Stay back. Come on, I got this. Just follow. Come on. Yes. Just follow. Just look to me and follow. Yes. Don't get ahead of me.
Yes.
Follow.
Yes.
Yes. Ooh, glory to God. Okay, read.
Stay back at least 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way before.
Now, God want to do something new in your life. Because what God is saying here is that I want to do something new in your life. And this is something new that you don't even know nothing about it. And I just need you to stay back. Come on, he's emphasizing this thing. Let me do something new. Stay back. Come on. You don't know nothing about this. Oh, glory to God. Stop saying, I know, I know. You ever talk to somebody that always going, I know, I know. No, you don't. You don't know nothing. Shut up. You might know where you've been and how you walked with God before, but come on. This is something new. Come on. Sometimes with God, you just got to act like you don't know nothing. I don't know nothing, God. I just, just drag me along.
Jesus.
Read.
And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves.
Wait now. You ever notice something when you're reading your Bible, when God get ready to take the people into something new? He says the what? Sanctify you. Didn't we just read where Israel, Jacob was getting ready to go to Bethel, and God says, sanctify yourself. In other words, let me show you something. Going into something new, oh glory to God. God is saying, take the junk off. Take stuff off. You know, I've come to find out that there are some doors that I go through, have gotten through with the Lord. There was times that, guess what? When I, you know, if I had a big bag of something, you got to go, what you got in that bag over there?
Something.
I was going to do a demonstration. But how many know, if I got a big bag, like a big Santa Claus bag, and some of y'all, you know, you probably still believe in Santa, you know? How many know that I may go through a door with that bag, but guess what? The next door I go through, the bag might not go through that door, so I got to literally stop. Put the bag down, take some stuff out, come on, so that guess what? I can get through that door. Come on, oh glory to God. And then when I get to the next door and that bag can't go through the door, I gotta stop, set it down, and take some stuff out of there. Come on, oh glory to God. So that what? I can get through the door. Every time God takes you higher, come on, he requires that you take off the junk. Come on, get rid of some junk. Come on, be willing to sanctify yourself.
Get rid of some junk.
Glory to God. Woo. I had to
shop. And I said, man, I thank God for the ministry that he put me up under at the time when, you know, I was young in the Lord. And I said, I was selfish. Come on. And I was selfish and self-centered. And I needed to be up under a ministry of love. Because all I could see was myself. Come on. And sometimes that, I won't even go all into that.
Hello, friend. This is Pastor W.V. Grant from Eagles Nest Cathedral in Dallas, Texas. And we are in revival right now in Melbourne, Florida, at the Ark of the Covenant Church, where the pastor is Cecilia Standback. The word of knowledge and vivid detail. Do you need a word from God? Do you need a miracle? Join me every night this week through Friday night. That's right, tonight at 7:14 for 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2317 North Harbor City Boulevard, Highway 1A. This is Pastor W.B. Grant. You've seen us on BET and the Word Network, and we're in Melbourne, Florida right now. Come out and be with us. Miracles are happening. People coming off of walkers and canes and out of wheelchairs. Short legs are growing out. The greatest miracles, all the souls that are being saved. Join me at 2713 Harbor City Boulevard at the Ark of the Covenant Church tonight through Friday night. This is Pastor W.V. Grant from Eagles Nest Cathedral in Dallas giving you a personal invitation. We're in Melbourne, Florida right now at Ark of the Covenant. I'll see you tonight at 7:14.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Josephine Bakita died on this day in 1947. She was a remarkable believer who reveled in the love of God and lived her life in service to him despite years in which she suffered under abusive slavery. Born around the year 1869 in a troubled region in Sudan, she was kidnapped by Arab slave traders while still a child in about 1877. This began a horrific 12-year ordeal as a slave. Not only did her captors forcibly convert her to Islam, they also forcibly marched her 600 miles to the city of El Obeid. She was so traumatized by the kidnapping, she forgot her own name. Bakita was, in fact, the name given to her by her slavers. It means lucky. During the march, Bakita was bought and sold twice. Afterwards, she was sold a third time to a wealthy Arab merchant who assigned her as a maid to his two daughters. For the most part, they liked her and treated her pretty well. Though at one part, when she accidentally broke a vase, the merchant's son beat her so badly she couldn't leave her bed for days. Bakita was then sold to a Turkish general tasked with serving his mother-in-law and wife. Both treated Bakita with extreme cruelty. They whipped her daily, scarred her body with deep razor lines, and even rubbed salt into the wounds. The abuse left 114 scars on Bakita's body. In the 1870s, Muhammad Ahmad, a Muslim cleric in Sudan, began to agitate for religious renewal and freedom from foreign control. He led a major revolt against the Turks and declared himself the Mahdi, essentially a Muslim messiah. As the Mahdists were closing in on El Obeid, Bakita was sold for a fifth time. Unlike her previous masters, Italian vice consul Callisto Lenani treated her kindly. Bakita's primary job was to be a nanny for the Mishieli's daughter. While arrangements were being made to move the family to Sudan due to some business interests there, Bakita and the daughter were sent to the convent of the Canossian sisters in Venice. It was there that Bakita learned of a different master, someone who was flogged on her behalf, who created her, knew her, and loved her. Bakita had longed to know the Creator, and now she had found him. So she placed her hope in Christ. When Mishieli's wife returned, Bakita refused to leave the convent. In fact, the convent actually went to court to protect Bakita. The court ruled that since slavery had been outlawed in Sudan before Bakita's birth and was illegal in Italy to begin with, Bakita had never legally been a slave and thus was not the property of the Mishieli's family. Bakita stayed in the convent, was baptized, took communion, and was eventually confirmed by Archbishop Sarto, the Cardinal Patriarch of Venice, and the future Pope Pius X. Eventually, Bakita took the names Josephine Margaret and Fortunata, Latin for Bakita, or lucky. Bakita became a Canossian sister. She was assigned to the convent at Chio in Vicenza. She was so kind and so gentle, she was regarded to be a living saint. From 1935 to